Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to episode 159.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Vicely. Do you want to maximize the value of each visit to your store, both for the business and for the site visitor? Of course you do. Then look no further than Vicely, a flexible personalization and search solution for your Shopify business. Hundreds of Shopify merchants at every stage of their business lifecycle trust Vicely. From businesses that are just starting out to established brands with nine figures in annual sales. With Vicely, you will build a tailored user experience by adding personalized product touchpoints at every stage of the visitor journey on your Shopify store. Vicely's enterprise-grade tools like one-on-one, real-time personalization, A/B testing, predictive search, dynamic filters, and merchandising will ensure that your store visitors see the right products at the right time, which will boost critical metrics such as average order value and conversion rate. With Vicely's post-purchase and email recommendations, you will also drive repeat visits and sales by turning one-time buyers into repeat customers, which increases your lifetime value and your brand loyalty all in the same process. You can also get access to Vicely's best-in-class white glove support and customization services. Use their pre-built and custom widgets, search results, collection filters, and pages. Everything works together as far as building your brand experience perfectly. And all of this with blazingly fast response times too. So don't leave revenue on the table and don't waste the opportunity to convert visitors into loyal customers. Start today and find out how much Vicely will benefit your Shopify business. Head on over to Vicely.io or search for Vicely in the Shopify App Store to begin your 14-day free trial. No credit card required. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, then you're in the right place today. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream a very relevant current episodes directly from ecommercefastlane.com. In today's episode, my guest is Connor Scherline, who's the CEO and co-founder of Co-op Commerce. And they're an interesting collaborative commerce platform that's helping Shopify brands to partner seamlessly together and acquire customers together at scale. And it's actually quite easy. Essentially, what they're doing is they're like a partnership platform for modern brands. It's really interesting. It's amazing technology. I want to jump in now. I want you to learn more about how you can boost some sales through these partnerships with other entrepreneurs and just finding solutions to build lifetime value. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, Connor. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right. I know we've been pinging our calendars back and forth a bit. It's been massively busy. E-commerce is such an interesting place to reside, especially in the B2B world right now. And that's who's listening today are entrepreneurs, either brand owners, marketing people, or want to be people in e-commerce. And they're looking for the latest kind of information, like what's hot, how can I accelerate my business? And I thought it'd be great to get you on the show today because you have a very unique platform that I don't believe many have heard of before. They may understand the partnership arrangements potentially of finding other complementary products or just trying to build relationships with other entrepreneurs, maybe to expand your product mix. And I think those things have been out in the market, but you go about it in a completely more unique way than most. So Let's talk first on a high level, like what does your platform do, this co-op commerce and the problems that you're solving for Shopify store owners?
Yeah. So we started co-op in the midst or in the background of rising customer acquisition costs. Especially in the last year, we've seen costs go through the roof on Facebook, Instagram, Google. And as such, we thought long and hard about ways we could improve brand abilities or Shopify store's abilities to gain net new customers. And one of the ideas that came about was, well, what about the stores? They all have customers of their own. They all have different segments of audiences that are relevant to each other. How about we make it easy for them to partner? So the way that I like to describe co-op is it's first and foremost a community of brands. And second, it's a set of tools that enable cross-promotion and cross-selling in between brands with ease.
No, I love that because I think the whole idea of building this community of relatable brands, I think is super important. But you guys go about it a little bit differently. So I think we need to dig a little more into, like, I think there's some things about your platform that are a little bit unique. There's this collaborative commerce I see being thrown around a bit on your website and I know in social. So let's dig in down to that a little bit.
Yeah. So the way that it works right now with our first product is immediately after you've captured a sale, you show complimentary products of other brands to your customer. And the reason why any brand would do that is because in return for showing other brands post-purchase, you yourself earn placement across the network. So everyone that's part of the co-op network has to both host other brand recommendations and then is featured as one of those recommendations. It's really a two-sided network, not just one side, where brands are able to be in front of other customers on other brands super seamlessly, all powered by our algorithm. So over time, our algorithm learns which brands pair best together. And similar to Amazon's Things You May Also Like, the way that that works on Amazon is you see complementary products together. We start to understand which complementary products and brands go together, and we start showing those matches first. So the first product is post-purchase, but we're working on a lot of other stuff too that helps stitch it together even more between brands.
Very cool. I know we're going to dig into it. I've been thinking a few extra questions that I didn't have answers to yet by doing my own research, and I'm hoping to flesh all that out today. But let's dig a little bit first into your journey, because I'm always fascinated, you know, why people build what they build. I mean, you have a B2B product. You're here to help other brands grow and expand through partnerships and these partnership arrangements and a little bit post-purchase and some other areas that you're working on right now. So let's talk about what uniquely positions you and I guess in the founding team on a few points, the desire and then the expertise to even want to create this platform.
Yeah. So I spent all of my career in and around acquisition, first at Facebook and Instagram. I spent 5 years there working in a variety of different roles. And while I was there, I saw the craziness of CPMs rising from $2 in 2013 when I walked in and accelerating to last year around the election in the United States, accelerating to $70, $80, $90. And it's become harder and harder to acquire customers as more large brands have entered the scene as the auction has become more competitive. So that was really interesting to me. And on that same note, what was also interesting to me is how Facebook had become the place to discover many of these Shopify brands. Many of these individual brands excel at a specific area, make an amazing product within a specific segment, and go to Facebook and Instagram for that distribution. Unfortunately, that distribution has become really, really expensive. After I left Facebook, I went to Affirm, and I was at Affirm, the payments company, the point of sale payments company, for a little bit over a year. And there I just learned a lot more about the e-commerce businesses themselves, what makes them tick, about their conversion funnel, like where are the places that it makes most sense to activate. And I started talking to a bunch of different merchants about the idea of cross promotion. You have these merchants, many merchants with very limited amounts of SKUs. They only sell, you know, 3 to 5 products. Their customers indeed need more than one thing. So cross promotion was an idea that I floated while I was at Affirm. And while I was there, I just learned that the place that made the most sense to do cross promotion was post-purchase, after you've captured a sale, to mitigate that risk. So we decided to start our first product post-purchase and build out an experience there that helps brands understand, not only drives net new conversions and net new customers, but helps brands understand which products and which brands pair well with their brand so that they can initiate and activate more holistic partnership strategies with those brands.
One thing I've noticed is these acquisition costs. I totally agree with you. They're definitely rising. I mean, you probably know I have a book of business. I have quite a few brands that I manage, and it's been an ongoing dialogue every month with the brands that just this CAC, this customer acquisition costs, keep rising, especially on Facebook and Instagram. And just I think you have a very unique, well, number one, being part of Facebook at one point, so you have a little bit of insider knowledge. But, you know, the other thing is just like, it just seems to me like a lot of brands are competing kind of against each other. And it appears like Facebook is actually kind of winning this kind of war. So I just would love to hear kind of like what you feel is going on in the marketplace. And is that why you've built Co-op?
Well, I think the thing that's most interesting and revealing about Facebook and Google was in this last earnings call. Facebook talked about iOS 14.5 making targeting worse on Facebook, yet the market reaction to that was a surge in price of their stock, not a decrease, right? And the reason why is because if CPMs go up on Facebook, Facebook is going to make more money. Facebook doesn't plan on increasing inventory. And if anything, after the pandemic, people are going to be spending a lot less time on these platforms because they're going to be going on with their lives and going back to work. So the usage of these platforms is probably going to go down in terms of time spent, which means the inventory available for advertisers is going to go down. And with less effective targeting, the only thing that can happen within an auction dynamic is the price will go up. So what you end up having is all of these brands that are going after the same target audience, all getting into a bidding war with each other, even though they are not competitive products. So they're spending, you know, you have Huggies, all of these huge CPG brands like P&G, all competing against all of the direct-to-consumer brands that are maybe selling into the same audience. And those direct-to-consumer brands really can't beat P&G, their $19 billion budget. So the idea is like, how do you help complementary brands partner together to lower customer acquisition costs, and hence our name, Co-op, their ad dollars, co-op their initiatives so that everyone wins?
So to me, you know, based on what you've just said, it feels like you're blurring the lines a little bit. There's traditional retailing. It seems like there's an affiliate arrangement, maybe even advertising. And do you see yourself in the advertising space, or is it more partnerships and community building with brands? Like, where do you feel that your technology fits kind of in the Shopify ecosystem?
That's a great question, because our business is, as I mentioned, and as you alluded to, just super unique. Like, we're exposed to tens of thousands, almost a million customers every month, actual end customers. And then we have over 500 brands on our platform. I think right now, this year, the way that I look at our business is being a B2B marketplace. So a way for brands to find other complementary brands and use the assets that they have, whether that be a huge customer list or their own brand or their own product or their own data, using those assets to help them grow by partnering up with other brands. So if you have a list of 100,000 and this other brand has a list of 100,000, you are not going to have a full crossover in between your audiences. So naturally, there's a lot of cross-selling behavior, cross-promotional behavior that can exist on owned channels like email, SMS, and in these other places that actually help everyone grow. So for this next year, we're very much focused on getting and making a data-informed partnership strategy based off of what we see within the widget, and then also off of all of the Shopify data that we're privy to, using that data to actually inform your partnership strategy and being that one-stop shop for you to facilitate everything related to partnerships.
The one thing I've noticed too, kind of snooping around your website, is you use the word recommendation engine a little bit, where, you know, I think that's part of your AI, your machine learning, or something is going on where you're showing relevant products and you're getting better over time. Are you able just to unpack a little bit of that technology, just so listeners kind of understand that it's not just a one for one. You show my product, I'll show you one of your products on my thank you pages. But I think it's a lot more than just that.
It is, yeah. We use AI in both our B2B marketplace, so enabling brands to be introduced to the right brands, but we also use it in all of our consumer services, which is what we call the widget itself and other places. We're launching co-op for email, co-op for SMS. We're launching in additional channels. And what we've done is we've looked at all of the cart data across all of the brands that are live and seen similarities in their customer lists. So if you have a high crossover with another brand, it's very much likely that your brands have a high affinity with each other. Then we layer that on with the actual data that we're seeing from the widget that lives post-purchase. So as we start to see people click on individual products and buy other products, our algorithm gets better and starts to understand which products pair best together, which brands pair best together. And we use that to inform, as I mentioned, both algorithms for our B2B side as well as for the consumer.
So it sounds like you're building, well, what I believe anyways, is more my opinion, but I believe you're building something that might very well be commonplace just based on these CAC, these customer acquisition costs, and trying to build relationships and community with other related brands, I think is a really smart business choice to build that way. And you got that technology. I mean, I'd argue that you may even have a little bit of a moat around you right now, you know, because you've onboarded, you know, quickly, I mean, 500 some brands already. And that's not a small number that are already on your platform and growing like every day. And so, how are you able to get these Shopify brands to want to participate in the co-op program?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's looking at all of the goals of our merchants and segmenting them appropriately and understanding what was most important for each one of them. So what we learned is that individual brands are totally fine with partnerships as long as they have full control and are able to select the other brands and the other types of brands that they're featuring. So intentionally, we've been really, really smart at curating this network and making sure that as we're building out our individual co-ops, that we have, you know, I like to actually call them anchor tenants, similar to like retail, finding one hero anchor tenant brand to basically stand up these individual co-ops. So when you get a Caraway or you get a Made in Cookware or you get a Brightland Olive Oil, it starts to be a magnet for the other brands that either look at those brands as aspirational or as peers to also want to collaborate. So the network and the quality of the network is what's most important. It's definitely the why people come. And then from there, I think that our brands just really believe that our intentions are to help them grow and to build something else besides Facebook and Instagram that they can rely upon for net new customer acquisition. So there's a wave for sure that we're riding of brands being really tired and being very much ready to try something new. And it just happens to be that the something new is also extremely collaborative and community oriented.
This might be a little bit more of a tougher question, but I was thinking about the fact that this currently sits kind of post-purchase. So someone's, you know, made the emotional decision, they bought the product, they go to the thank you page, and your widget is then being displayed, and your technology shines at this point about the relationships between other partners and showing other different products and things that are potentially have a good mix of, you know, potentially have them to buy. What I find interesting though is that, is there a concern by any brand about maybe potentially stealing away a little bit of the average order value? Because there are some post-purchase kind of upsell, cross-selly things that are going on. Or is there any kind of, I'm just worried about like the retention aspect of, hey, they just spent $100. Now they're showing an accessory item that you don't sell, but it seems complimentary. And they pull the trigger on that too. I was just wondering if that's money being lost or how the relationship is. I guess there's two sides of this question is like, is it bad that apparently you might be stealing away average order value? Or on the other side, is it actually good that you have a happy customer from two different brands now?
I have two ways that I like to answer this. I mean, the first is we have upsells. Our widget actually supports same-store upsells in addition to cross-promotion. We've also built a post-purchase offers product that enables you to upsell your own products post-purchase. What we've realized is, like, the more that you surface your products and the more you surface your own offers, the less that it is likely that a complimentary brand will be shown. So what we're launching next month is a goal-oriented flow. And what that means is, tell us what goal is more important to you. Is it driving net new customers? Most brands definitely feel that that is their number one pain point, but some don't. Some feel that increasing the retention and increasing AOV is more important. So we've built flows. We're calling the product's called Flows. And what it does is it enables brands to select their goal and for us to optimize that flow based on that goal, whether it be AOV or whether it be net new customers.
All right. Another question I have too is about data ownership and just the order itself. So those listening today, someone buys something, they go to the thank you page, your widget is there, it shows complimentary products, they go and buy that complimentary product from an affiliated partner. And I think that's great. It's a win-win for everybody. But in the end, who gets to own the data? Is it shared amongst the two partners? How do you fit into the mix? So I just would love to understand that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I would say is that there's a lot of data that exists in that full flow, right? So like you have the product that's displayed, you have the product that is clicked on, you have the product that is bought. And at each one of those steps, we share data. So the first thing is we share which brands have been displayed and which brands you are displaying on most frequently. That is optimized toward conversion and click. So you should start to see you showing up on the brands that are driving the most positive outcomes for you. On clicks, we tell you which brands your customers are clicking onto and which products they're clicking onto, as well as the products that of yours that are being clicked on. We do not share PII in relation to click data, but we do tell you which brand it's coming from. And then when purchases happen, because they're actually happening on the individual brand site, like each brand owns that customer. So if you're Caraway and you refer a customer to Brightland and they buy Brightland, you own the customer. And so does Brightland. So when customers are actually buying something and going through that full flow, we share everything with each of the merchants.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. So it almost appears like, you know, maybe you're going down this kind of big data play. Like that's one thing I'm trying to figure out now is that, so you have this great platform and you're pulling in lots of data, both the merchant data, the click data, the view, like the order, like you're organizing things for conversion. So I get all that. So this data is available and PII on some of the data for obvious reasons, but then is there an opportunity in the future to use this data more effectively for the more enhanced co-op platform? I'm just trying to think the overall strategy behind all of this.
Yeah. So we're using all of this data to launch a new product that's coming next quarter, which is going to be called Inbox. And in Inbox, you're going to have the ability to be introduced to the brands that are performing best so that you can build a relationship with them. And within that, it will be a data-driven recommendation based on what we're seeing on the widget and all of the information that's flowing through there. And then from there, it'll be a really powerful jumping off point for you to do more with that brand, whether that be to feature that brand's products directly on your storefront, whether that be and sell them through your own storefront, whether that be collaborative landing pages for you guys to both drive traffic to the site, whether that be audience exchanges and using each other's audiences to help drive down customer acquisition costs on paid channels like Facebook. We're using all of that data to essentially inform a much smarter strategy for you when it comes to engaging with these other partners. Explicitly, when it comes to data, we also launched a new product and are in the process of getting out of beta with a new product called Co-op Audiences. And Co-op Audiences is taking all of the data that we sit on and building first-party derived audiences that help lower customer acquisition costs. So we're using a lot of what we're seeing on the network too to help you with your overall acquisition strategy, not just on Co-op, but also off of Co-op as well.
Just so I'm clear, so the inbox product that will be coming out next quarter, essentially this is just kind of expanding upon what the data shows for what complementary products were being shown on your store and the results of that and just successful transactions. And then from there, it must open things up a little wider and saying, hey, you know what? It seems that these three or four partners are where the lion's share of our business is coming from post-purchase. And so knowing that, maybe there's other opportunity of maybe only focusing on these three or four brands and really doubling down on that relationship. Is that kind of where this inbox tool is coming from?
Yeah, but it will be more dynamic than that because we have such a growing network of brands joining co-op. This will be something that you can eventually be in and utilize frequently. Like you could be doing collaborative campaigns with a range of partners that you maybe didn't even know, probably didn't even know before you joined co-op. We're essentially building, like right now we have this super interesting widget post-purchase where 500 brands are working together and probably 80% of them have never met the other brand, don't know the other brand. We're basically moving up from that point saying like, hey, you guys are partnering already, FYI. You're showing each other's products post-purchase. They're selling really well. You should do something else. Like you should send an email campaign. You should do a collaborative landing page. You should partner together more deeply. Maybe even do a product collaboration because it's working really well.
It's almost like a brand discovery engine of other successful brands on your platform that maybe your algorithm hasn't even shown the complimentary product, or someone's ad, this dress, but this other purse company, their ads aren't being shown yet for whatever reason, but you discover them, build a relationship and say, no, I think we're going to try these people because that is in the wheelhouse of kind of what you believe would be a great post-purchase experience by showing that product where your algorithms maybe on their own aren't showing it yet.
Yeah, well, we'll use what we see from the algorithm and then we'll use other data. So one of the benefits of being a Shopify app is we have access to a lot of order history and we're able to see the similarities in between brands. So we'll use, you know, whether that be a high level of product crossover or customer crossover, we'll use that to inform and introduce brands to each other.
And we'll just kind of keep going down this journey of the data side of it, because it's, you know, obviously with GDPR and, you know, right, with this Facebook kind of iOS 14 update and just data privacy in general. It's so funny on my phone now. Every app I open now, do you want to accept or decline? Da, da, da. Okay, so this is obviously an important thing right now. So let's talk about the customer profile. Like, is there something built into the platform that consumers, you know, do they have to sign in and create a profile, or does this just all happen dynamically on its own just through PII?
We don't expose PII to other brands unless they are owned, like unless they rightfully have that information already. What we have done is we have built profiles of customers based off of these partnerships in order for these brands to understand which ones they should partner with and if it's something that would yield benefit for them. So to explain a little bit more clearly, brands themselves have a bit large customer lists. They may decide to promote another brand's products to that list. And that's the type of facilitation that we're going to start leaning more into, is these owned lists. And we really believe that the brand making the recommendation, similar to an influencer, has a big impact on the way that it's perceived. So that's the way that we're thinking about that on the data side.
Now, you've shared quite a bit about, I guess, what the current platform can do right now on the post-purchase side. And there's lots of things from this inbox to co-op audiences. And I scrambled a whole bunch of notes here. There's lots of stuff that's active now, lots of things coming down the pike too, which is amazing. Are you able to maybe just share, just more in a summary, what you believe is going to be launched by, I guess, the end of 21? End of the day, I just want to maybe just share with the audience about, you know, how do you believe you're going to offer value and assistance for Shopify brands that are looking to build these relationships, are looking to expand their sales and their lifetime value?
Yeah. I mean, for us, our job is not done until you can rely on us to be a really large source of net new customer acquisition for your brand. So what does that mean from a numbers perspective is we'd like to be between 10 and 30% of a brand's overall net new customer acquisition. And the way that we're facilitating that is over a range of consumer services as well as B2B tools that enable that. You alluded to them. We have an audiences product. We have Inbox launching. There's a lot of things that we're launching in order to make that realized, to make that really easy. So we're taking out all of the confusion, all of the 1,600 emails that you might send to get a partnership live, making it super easy, making it super accessible, and making it something you can rely upon to grow.
So one last question, probably not one last because I have like a pile of them in my brain here now, but it's just like I'm thinking about the transaction that happens post-purchase, you know, back to the maybe to the dress and the purse example, buy the dress off one retailer, see the post-purchase offer and say, hey, that's pretty cool. I think I'm going to get that. And they buy that and they're obviously a Shopify customer, I would suppose. And so I just want to know where, obviously the order is being fulfilled by the purse company, but then is there information or a tagged order or something going on in, I guess, the originating site is saying, hey, just so you know, customer record over here on the main shop, you had a post-purchase transaction through the purse companies or us over here. I just want to understand that relationship because I think there's power in understanding that data that, yes, I sold the dress. Yes, I can probably log into the Co-op Commerce platform and see my other transactions and the relationships of the financial transactions that go along with that post-purchase upsell. But then, and the fact that they're going to fulfill that order, that, you know, the purse company, I just wanted to know how each company knows, because the purse company might say, hey, this is interesting to me that I get to fulfill an order. I got a quote unquote a free order because it was over here on Dresses or Us and now purses, you know what I mean? Like maybe just final clarity on where the customer resides, where the data resides, at least from the customer record perspective of the order. Yeah.
So right now, the way that our widget works is we take you from brand A and we take you to brand B. And you see the brand's products on that PDP and you check that product detail page and you check out from that brand. So it's a referral, right? It's like very simply a referral. Using Shopify sales channels though, we're working closely with the Shopify team to make this way, have this be way less friction. So we're gonna be joining the post-purchase extensions beta that is ongoing right now. And our use case is something that the Shopify team is taking very seriously and enabling cross-store one-click checkout. So immediately after you've checked out, you can add it to your order as if you it onto the same exact transaction. When that happens, you will have record of that sale and that someone bought that, but then the downstream brand will also have that order injected into their order management system alongside all of the other PII that comes along with that.
So it's affiliate relationship, kind of direct click over to the other brand, make your decisions, go buy over there. However, coming down the pike, probably within sometime in 21, it's great to see Shopify is considering that because I think it's a really neat little solution to jointly own the customer and understanding the order history of, hey, had a dress, bought a purse. Both companies should know because they were part of that successful transaction in either direction. Because I like how your platform works where it's one for one for displaying a product. So hey, if this store is going to show 10,000 times, then you know your ad is also going to, or your products are going to be shown 10,000 times on other stores. And I think that's very powerful. So let's talk about how people can learn more about your solution. Where can they go?
Yeah, so there's two ways to find us. The first is you can go to our website, coopcommerce.com, or you can just search for us in the App Store, search Co-op Commerce, and you'll find us there. And on all of the other channels, we are at Co-op Commerce. So you can find us on Twitter, find us on all of the other channels there too as well.
Beautiful. And I know we spoke offline today, but just before recording, I understand that you would like to, oh, I actually have a couple offers that you would like to share today for those listening today.
Yes. So we would love for you guys to check us out. Go to coopcommerce.com/ecommercefastlane. And there you can see our offer, which is 1 month free using the platform or a 20% off for a 6 month subscription. Go to that landing page and there you can obtain that link.
Beautiful. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/co-op. I'll make sure that this pretty link on our site here will redirect to your landing page, and then you can choose whatever offer. I think it's great timing. I think, you know, based on what you're talking about, people are obviously trying to find different channels and different ways of expanding their product mix, just getting more sales, just better customer experience overall, building relationships with other people in commerce. I think it's just community in general. I think it's really important to build these relationships. I think this is a great platform to do it. I'm excited that you have, you know, you've been pretty transparent about your roadmap that, hey, like, we're working tight with Shopify as best we can. We have a lot of things on our list here of things that we want to work on to build our product wise with your inbox and the audiences. And like, there's so many, lots of stuff going on. I think it's really exciting. I just wanted to thank you, Connor, for, you know, coming on the show, and thank you for, you know, sharing your knowledge, just giving back to the ecosystem. I think you have a great platform. I think those listening today, please go and check it out at coopcommerce.com, or get up this deal on the landing page for the show notes. But just, yeah, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great.
Today's episode is brought to you by Vicely, a flexible personalization and search solution for your Shopify business. Hundreds of Shopify brands use Vicely to grow their businesses, convert store visitors into happy, loyal customers with highly relevant product touch points throughout the customer's initial and repeat journeys. With seamless Shopify integration, one-to-one personalization, A/B testing, over 20 pre-built and custom widgets, predictive search, dynamic filters, merchandising, I mean, literally everything you need, best-in-class support, it does it all. Vicely is the perfect solution for efficient e-commerce teams that are focusing on growing the business and not their workload. So start today and find out how Vicely can help accelerate the growth of your Shopify business. Visit Vicely.io or search for Vicely in the Shopify App Store to begin your 14-day free trial. No credit card required. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.